Welcome to Flawless Conversations. I'm Tamika Jones, and today we're diving into how mindset can shift your life, your confidence, your purpose. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Flawless Conversations. I'm your host, Tamika Jones, and today we're having a conversation about leadership, resilience, and what it truly means to serve with purpose. Joining me is Brenda Keel, a retired Air Force captain, a master prepared registered nurse, and a respected healthcare professional with decades of experience leading in high pressure environments. Brenda's journey spanned military career, clinical excellence, and leadership rooted in discipline, compassion, and integrity. Brenda, thank you so much for your service, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
Let's dive right in. Leadership in the military and healthcare isn't learned in comfort. We know that firsthand, right? It's forged in pressure. So Brenda, how did your time in the Air Force shape the leader that you became?
My time in the Air Force shaped the leader that I became by just kind of how it was structured. I really thrived, I think, in that environment where purpose was built in. I did like very much coming into the military, and there is an emphasis on learning to do this task and learning to do it well. And once you have mastered that, then you are the leaders for the newer folks that are coming in. And then it's basically, can you give them the resources to get that job done now as you are working up the chain? And it just really made sense to me. And I think it just kind of came natural. That is definitely what helped me become the leader that I would consider myself to be today.
And in the military, it's pretty much, for the most part, rinse and repeat, right? You know your task at hand, you execute it well, right? And like you said, you move on to the next task. So, and I've had some great leaders and I had some not so great leaders, but I think that just comes with the territory.
Agree.
What leadership lessons can civilians learn from your military service, or just military service in general?
I think one of the big emphasis that I learned in my time was just flexibility and attention to detail. So it was always, if this is the task, you need to do it 100%. There is no, like, no is never an option. It's how can you figure that out? How can you get it done? In my entire career, at no point did I ever go back to my leaders and say, yep, this didn't work for me. There was a problem with, you know, this, that, or the other thing. So I just didn't do it. It was, okay, I had this roadblock. This is what I did. Do I have clearance to proceed? And you just kind of went from there. And I think another big thing that has really always resonated with me that I don't see in the civilian world is this concept of followership. Pretty early on, we're taught, hey, you just need to be able to do this task without knowing all of the information. And in order for the whole unit to be successful, we relied on that. And we don't see that as much in the civilian role. We want to, of course, make sure everybody has some ownership. We want to make sure everybody has some stake in the game. But there are times where we just need to be a really good follower too. And I think that that's valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Because there were times in the military where, you know, we both had to not question, right, and lead, right? So I think a lot of times that comes natural in the military versus the civilian life. But there's a time to lead, and there's a time to, like you said, that followership, which is huge, right? Can't have all, what, chiefs and not enough Indians? Is that how it goes? Something like that. Something like that. So how do you stay calm and decisive in high stake environments? And this is a big one, because in the military, we're constantly juggling multiple things, right? And trying to remain calm and make sure execute the mission, as well as take care of our people. So how are you able to do that?
So at least in the military, we did a lot of you train like you fight. So we're gonna make this as real as possible. We're gonna like give you the
External
external pressures.
pressures to
We're gonna
really make
make
you
you
think
think
that
that this
this
is
is
life
life
or
or
death,
death.
because when it is life or death, we heavily rely on muscle memory, the ability to just react, the ability to just make those decisions in a split second and move forward. And I do think for most people in healthcare, though, I think we those that are drawn to, you know, the medical professions, we also just naturally kind of thrive in that chaos so that we can make that decision. So definitely had a lot of practice in the military.
Yeah, I remember my first cold as a nurse, as a new lieutenant nurse on the floor. Oh my goodness. Calm? What? No, absolutely not. I was all over the place, right? But in but you learn, right? Because you watch how the team move and how the doctors stay calm and how the seasoned nurses, how they move, right? So you start to adapt the same qualities as them, you know, throughout the years as a nurse. So yeah, staying calm. That's key. That's key in the healthcare industry. So Brenda, what does true leadership look like when no one is watching? And it's funny I asked you this because integrity is one of our core values, right? So I'll let you answer.
I think when it comes to human nature, we're motivated by some type of external reward. So that integrity is really paramount. Like it does come down to what are you going to do when no one is watching? And I think that there's an element of being able to lead yourself. And at the end of the day, you have to tell yourself, okay, how can I just be better than I was yesterday? Because no one is here to check me on any of those. How can I do what I need to do in order to make that happen? So I believe that doing those internal, have that internal monologue, it's going to just really help you build that in inner character throughout. Basically, it's a small step every day. Okay, let me make this consistent choice. Let me make this consistent choice. And when we're able to do that and do that well, I believe that that is what is going to create this genuine trust and influence from those that we want to follow us or need to follow us.
I agree. That self-awareness, right? Checking yourself constantly and knowing how to navigate your thoughts, feelings, emotions, all the things, right? I think that's key, especially in the middle, especially as a healthcare worker.
Agreed.
It's important, that self-awareness. I like that. I like that. So what mindset helps leaders stand strong when pressure is at its highest? So what are some tips or resources or something that helped you as a leader to stand strong even when things were chaotic all around us, i.e. COVID, right? We were both in the struggle with COVID ops, right, in the military.
Aside from being flexible, and I think COVID definitely taught us that, it comes with a level of resilience and grit. I do kind of think that I had a level of that going into the military, and then probably midway through my career, the military as a whole really started to push this resilience. Like, how do you make sure that you're good? Because at some point, life will be hard. What are you going to do to make sure that we can keep moving forward? And as a leader, you have to be able to say, okay, let me take ownership. Let me face accountability when there are failures, because there will be failures. And also, then how are we going to look at those failures? So, is it just a roadblock or is it an opportunity for growth? And if we all did have that mindset, and sometimes we just need those additional reminders, like, what is your plan? Now let's get it done. I think that that's really critical.
Oh yeah, that's key. That is key. And then having the mindset, like you said, and the resilience to push through. You know, when I think of the word resilience, I think of healthcare workers. I think of a lot of people, but I think of a rubber band, right? And I think, you know, having resilience, you get stretched, you know, so much. But as healthcare workers, we most of the time we bounce back, right? As military members, we bounce back and we're able to serve, and that's as long as we cultivate self-care, right? So that's key too, is that self-care. But when I think of resilience, I think of a rubber band, and I think that's what you are. Rubber band Brenda. Rubber
Agreed.
band Sadiqa. Resilience, right? That's what it's all about. Having that resilience, even when the pressure is on, because it's going to be something, like you said before, something is, it's inevitable. It's always something, but being able to get back up, right? Having that mindset to say, okay, I fell forward. It's okay. Now it's time for me to get back up and even pivot, right? If what I'm doing isn't working, it's okay to pivot, right? So don't go anywhere. Coming up next, Brenda shares how resilience is built in moments of uncertainty and how to lead through adversity with strength and grace. Stay tuned for more Flawless Conversations. We'll be right back to remind you that healing is possible. Confidence is yours, and that you are flawless. This is Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Tamika Jones, and you're watching Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome back to Flawless Conversations. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to Flawless Conversations in every Now Media television show, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the free Now Media television app on Roku or iOS and enjoy bilingual programming in English and Spanish. From wellness and leadership to purpose and empowerment, Now Media television is available around the clock, ready whenever you are. Welcome back. We're here with Brenda, continuing our conversation on resilience, not just surviving the difficult moments, but leading others through them. Brenda, how do you define resilience after serving both in the military and as a healthcare professional?
I think in both of those scenarios, whether it be military or healthcare, there is a lot of constant change. There is travel, there is a lot of shift work, and there is a ton of burnout. I think that that's just something that unfortunately is a part of how we're designed. And so resilience is key. And I think that having a support structure is paramount. And just this mindset that says, I don't want to do this today, but I'm going to do it one step in front, one foot in front of the next, and just keep moving forward. It doesn't always have to be fast. Sometimes it's just forward.
Yes. Those baby steps count, right? Just moving in general. What moments tested your strengths the most, and what carried you through it?
During most of my military career, I really just felt that I was kind of a natural at being resilient. I think I had a really good support structure. I just kind of had a good mindset going into it. But a lot of things did change for me in 2016 through 2018. So as you know, when I was stationed in Florida, my husband and I, we actually were dealing with some fertility issues. We had three miscarriages. I unfortunately lost my brother unexpectedly. And we ended up getting pregnant with our now second daughter. It was really hard for me because every single day of that pregnancy, I was waiting for the next miscarriage. It was hard to celebrate. And in the midst of all of that, it was a very heavy heart, a very heavy mind. I'm still going to work and I have my game face on and you're just like, I'm fine. I'm here to work. I'm here to do this. But it was a very dark time in my mind. And I felt a lot of relief when my daughter was born, like, oh my gosh, she's here. And I was unprepared because at no point did I think we were going to get to that point in, you know, her delivery. So I do remember an audible sigh after delivery where I was like, made it, we're here. And I felt like I was going to go forward. But unfortunately, 1 week after the delivery of my daughter, I did experience a postpartum hemorrhage that was related to some retained placenta, and that led to heart failure, kidney failure, flash pulmonary edema, posterior reversible encephalopathy syndrome. It also led to bilateral retinal infarct, and I was life flighted to a larger hospital. I woke up on a bed in the ICU, and every single doctor that was assigned to my case when I first arrived rounded on me later. And they were all just like, "Hey, I saw you when you came in, and I did not think that you were going to be here. I did not think that you would live." And like, who says that? I don't know how to respond to that. And even those words, the whole event in and of itself really was hard emotionally, mentally, physically. I deal with a lot of PTSD, and I feel kind of like I'm in that Final Destination movie where like every day is my last, and I have to deal with a lot of that. So it's been tough to find that resilience that I felt like I was always just naturally able to have. It was hard to find that strength. But at the end of the day, I have an amazing support system. I have a great husband, and I was able to seek resources. I, as active duty member, I marched myself over to mental health and said, "I need help with what is weighing on my mind." I did have, and I still have a great therapist. Shout out to Dr. Chapa. But I also participated into life-changing Odyssey events through the Wounded Warrior Project. And so I think that this goes back to define what you need and just keep moving forward. And if I didn't do that, I think that I would have just stayed in that moment in my mind, and I would have just withered there. But I had the resources, I had the support, and I just kept moving forward.
And explain to us what exactly is postpartum hemorrhage.
So for me, it was a week after, and I literally just started hemorrhaging. I was actually at home pumping, and I thought everything was good. And it was just a huge amount of bleeding.
It's bleeding out,
It was
correct?
just bleeding out. And you know, at the time we just reacted. I actually, yelled for my husband, like at the car. I told my mom to get the kids, and we were just flying. Like, you think of as a nurse, right? I should have called 911. I knew how bad the bleeding was, but I really struggled because I wasn't nauseous, I wasn't dizzy, I wasn't in any pain. The only thing I had was a massive amount of bleeding, so I just couldn't quite wrap my brain around what was happening. But once we actually got to the ER, in my mind, I was like, my husband's. I vividly remember being in that trauma room, and I was like, my husband's gonna watch me die. I'm leaving behind a 2.5-year-old and 1-week-old. There was no part of me that thought that I was ever gonna leave that room alive. And that really just kind of sticks in your brain forever.
Talking about resilience, wow, that's a story. That's a powerful story. So, and what I heard you say is, throughout all that you've gone through, you sought out resources to help you to overcome this trauma, because it is trauma that you had, both mentally and physical trauma, emotionally as well. Trauma. You sought out resources. I heard you say therapists, right? Support groups, and then you had family and friends to surround you as well. Man, that's important. That community is very important. That's important. Wow. So how can leaders support others while still protecting their own well-being? Same with you. How did you show up with a smile every day and support your troops? Not only support your troops or your staff, but also take care of your patients. How did you do that day in and day out?
I definitely saw my leaders practicing that for me, because I was going through something heavy, and they had to protect their own well-being because it was hard for them. I remember my supervisor coming to see me in the ICU on a vent, and she was breaking down. That was hard for her. We were also friends on many levels too. It really comes down to communication, because as leaders, it's our job to empower and to guide. And again, it really just kind of goes back into that support system. So for me now, anybody that I look at, whether it's my staff that I have now or my airman when I was still in, I'm constantly assessing like who is in their court right now with them. If something were to happen today, like are they married? Is the marriage by all accounts going well? Like, do they have family close by? How close are they with family? And it's really important that we either say, "Hey, how can I make this these bonds that you have stronger? How can I make sure you have time with your family while juggling the needs of the military or the needs of the job? And then also when you find some airmen that are, you know, kind of alone out there in the world, and that does happen a lot, it's like, okay, how can I really get them plugged in? And I'm not going to just make some mandatory fun or mandatory event, but how can I really find something that speaks to them that
Right.
they're going to enjoy? Because at the end of the day, they might not want to confide in a supervisor per se or a boss, but who is in their court now and how do I facilitate that?
Oh, and that's so important. No airman left behind. So your wingman, right?
For
So
sure.
important. I remember my commander. He would when you every person that came on the unit, he would give them a sheet of paper to fill out, and it had the name, ask your name, your spouse name, your kids' name, birthdays, all things important. And when those times came around, like your child's birthday, he'll have a small little gift with the child name on it. Like it was more personalized, right? And he made sure that he knew everybody by first and last name basis, and then invite families to events. So, he was that leader that led from the front, right? And he was that leader that made sure that he took care of his people, not just only take care of his people, but he was personable, right, with his people. And that speaks volumes. That says a lot as well. So,
Agreed.
and yeah. So Brenda, what affirmation or belief helped you push forward through your hardest season, which you gave us one of your hardest, probably the hardest season. What affirmations or mantras or what did you stand on during that time that helped you push forward?
Well, even as I said before, even the doctors like didn't think that I was still going to be here, but I am. I woke up that day and I wake up every day. And for me, it's, you know, I do also have faith. I do have a purpose here and it's my job. It's my duty to figure out, okay, how can I find my purpose, fulfill that role, be here for my kids, be here for my family, do all of the things that I need to do. And at the end of the day, I woke up in the ICU grateful, like, because I did not think that would happen. And I make it a point to wake up every day and say, I'm here today. I have this gift. We're not promised another day, but let me find out what is my purpose in
In
the
the
here
here
and
and now.
now and in the long term.
So that moment shaped you to who you are today. Wow. And you hear about even I don't know if you follow Jamie Foxx, but he I remember him sharing his story on his stand-up, how he, had a near-death experience and how him laying on that bed, right? Him hearing doctors and people and just him being able to reflect and like, I want to live and fight, right? Fight that I want to live. And when I live and when I come up out of this, I'm going to be a changed man, right? There's some things that I'm going to change, and there's some things I'm going to do. There's some people who I'm going to ask for forgiveness, all the things, right? I've never experienced it, but I can only imagine going through something like that and just having a second chance at life. To get it right. That's powerful.
Powerful.
Powerful. Brenda, thanks again for your insight. And your insights are powerful. Thanks again. For the viewers who want to learn more about your work and connect with you, where can they find you in your establishment, your business?
So right now, I'm the owner of a franchise, the Drip Hard Alamo Ranch in San Antonio, Texas. And we're located again on Alamo Ranch Parkway. So if you're curious, if you want a tour, please come see. I would love to just kind of share a little bit about what I'm passionate about today. And of course, as you can see, the website here, alamo-ranch-satx.thedriphard.com is a direct site. And I would love to just share how I've taken as a nurse a little bit of a pivot, and I want to do less on responding to illness and more on let's prevent it. Let's give the body the nutrients that it needs to do its job and to do it well. And so I'm trying to look at things differently from a healthcare perspective as well.
I love it. Reactive versus what? But proactive versus reactive. Oh, that's
Agreed.
amazing. I love it. I love it. And I gotta come by and check you out. I keep saying it, but I need to make time to stop by and check you out. So coming up next, we're talking about purpose and how service shapes identity, which is my jam, and how to carry your calling well beyond a uniform or title. So don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back to remind you that healing is possible, confidence is yours, and that you are flawless. This is Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television.
Nervous. Can you tell?
And we're back. I'm Tamika Jones, and you're watching Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome back to Flawless Conversations. I'm your host, Tamika Jones, and we're continuing our discussion with Brenda. Now focusing on life after service and how purpose evolves beyond the titles, roles, and ranks. Leaving the military or a long professional career can feel like you're losing your identity. I know firsthand how it feels. So Brenda, how did you navigate the transition from the military service to civilian life?
It definitely was not easy. As you know, I initially wanted to serve 30 years. So at the 25 plus year mark, I was actually medically retired due to my severe PTSD and that bilateral retinal infarct. For me, I ended up just, I took like an entire year off and off from everything. I kind of didn't want to leave the house. I did a lot of intensive exposure therapy and talk therapy with my provider. I did a lot of journaling, trying to rewrite the nightmares that I was having, and it was really hard. But for me, around the year mark, I did start to miss some type of purpose and I wanted to get back at it. But of course, as a nurse, what do you do when you have medical-related PTSD, right? So if I'm at work, I could hear the word Zofran and it really just takes me back into that moment. So what do you do? Like, where do you work? And that was really hard. When it comes to IV vitamin therapy, I wanted it for me. We were really just looking into going to an IV vitamin place and we ended up seeing an ad for a semi-absentee business noodle. And we just were like, maybe this is the thing. I don't have to be there, but I can if I need to be. It's definitely not semi-absentee. I'm there a lot, but I still feel like I have a huge sense of purpose. So I've just transferred to that membership or that service member mindset into this franchise owner and just making sure that I live every day with purpose. And I just say, I'm going to do this well also.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. So you stepped into a different purpose, but it's still giving back, right? Because I think service is in our DNA, right? We joined the military. We became, you know, nurses. Now we're in a different career, but it's still about serving. So I think service is in our DNA and you just pivot towards another type of service, but it's still serving. So that's amazing. That's amazing. What challenges have you seen that veterans face when trying to redefine their identity?
Definitely think that as a service member, that built-in purpose isn't there. So you have to define it for yourself. You have to be able to say, like, this is what it is. And what does that mean to me? Because you're not just given it and then expected to understand and then kind of roll with it. It was a little bit different for me because as a business owner, though, I could still create the structure that I was used to. Of course, I also have my master's in clinical systems leadership, so this felt very easy to set up a clinic and just to kind of go from there. I've also made it a point to hire people that are in some way affiliated with the military. Having seen my own spouse struggle to find a job when we have PCS'd, I was like, I want to be an opportunity for someone else who had to give up their career because their spouse got orders and they might have children. They might need some flexible, you know, assignments. So I don't think I had the same struggles to really redefine my identity. I kind of brought a lot of it still with me. So it is the civilian world, but I'm still functioning pretty similar to what I was when I was active duty.
Awesome. And my story is kind of a little different from yours because when I retired from the military, I had to take a step back and find my identity. I was lost. I who was Tamika? And that kind of sparked my whole journey, my whole self-love journey, because I didn't know who Tamika was. This Mia from Grace After Fire, I was interning with them. She had asked me, like, who is Tamika? And I'm like, oh, I'm just a nurse. She's like, no. Who is Tamika? I'm like, oh, I'm a major in the Air Force. No. Who is Tamika? I'm a single mom. So as I begin to peel back the layers, right, I'm like, who is Tamika, right? So, and that instantly I began to cry, because all these labels that society, right, the military, and even my own negative self-talk. Oh, I'm not a public speaker. Oh, I'm just introvert. All these labels that we tend to put on ourselves, right, over the years, and we start to define ourselves as just that, but that's not who we are. So after the military, I had to go on this whole self-love journey to figure out who to be, you know, and I discovered, right, my purpose, my passion. I discovered it, and I just kept going ever since. So yeah, we have to get to our true identity and know that there's no turning back, right? And how we tap into that, like you said you journal, you know, therapy, just becoming more self-aware with who we are, right? And calming our nervous system. A lot of times our nervous system is all out of whack. We have to calm our nervous system and also feel safe, right? It has to feel safe in order to be able to tap in into our true identity. And once we do that, everything starts to align, right? Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. So how can skills learned in service translate to new purpose? And you just told us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah. For me, I feel like I've seen a huge rise in preventable disease and illness that we, I think, just are seeing explode when it comes to healthcare. And so for me, I just kind of went back to how come I was never taught as a nurse what amino acids we need and what vitamins and nutrients, and like, how can we best absorb it? Like, how come that never happened? So I believe a little bit of the military taught me to be curious, also to ask questions, to go figure it out. And that for sure translated into a new purpose for me. So I'm going to say, okay, yeah. Can you get some of these vitamins through food? Can you get them through oral supplements? Possibly. Yeah, maybe, but we're not getting the amount of nutrients that we need. So, you know, we can do IVs, and guess what? It's more bioavailable. So let's just make sure people have it, and then see how we can, you know, shift our focus onto, again, more wellness instead of reactive medicine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And all the skills that you've learned in the military and as a longtime healthcare professional, you are able to transfer those skills now into your own business, your own establishment, and lead with purpose. So that's super amazing. What advice do you give to someone who's struggling to find meaning after a major transition or after a major traumatic experience as you had?
For me, I think it was about acceptance. Like, I have to accept that this is what I was dealt, and that's been really hard to accept. You know, I think that there was a lot of things that could have been prevented, but I had to take a minute. I had to reconnect with my own individual values, and again, I needed to say, okay, here's where I am now. So what is my next goal? What are the steps that I need to do that? And sometimes we need to give that same advice to other people, because, you know, they might not already have that mindset.
So you will basically tell them to stay the course, don't give up. What is something else? What is the other one you just mentioned?
Something else. Connecting with our individual values.
Yes. And what does that look like? Connecting with your individual values.
Yeah. So for me, I think that I have a lot of values that are just rooted in my faith. I think that that's paramount, and I think that that's got me through a lot of situations. Also, I feel like I kind of even started before the military, I came in with a powerful sense of like work ethic, which can be a flaw as sometimes when you put so much emphasis on the job and then you forget the other things that are important too. So for me, I had to make sure that I was also reconnecting with my family. Like, you know what? I almost died in that ER and I was going to leave my family. And so all of the things that I was naturally aspiring to be as an airman and now like as a business owner, I have to say, you know what, is that the most important thing? Because at the end of the day, 100% it's my family. So it was a bit of an opportunity to really refocus and put some accountability on my own heart about what I should be focusing on with the same amount of passion.
Yes. So refocus, reassessing your life and reassessing and also reevaluating the things that need to possibly change in your life, because
Sure.
here today, possibly gone tomorrow, right? So what can we do in the now to prepare or to live, right? And to live with love and to live with intention. I guess that's the word, right? So, Brenda, how can purpose remain strong even when roles are changed, even when your roles were changed, right? How did you hold on to that purpose after the military said, "Hey, Brenda, good job, thank you. It's time for you to transition to your next career." How did you hold on to that purpose that you had inside of you, even when that role changed?
I do really like this question. And I think a lot of times, we'll hear, what is your why? Why are you doing this? Like, why are you passionate about that? And I do think that that is really, really important. But for me, I had to find meaning in how. So it wasn't just about this is your job title, this is the job that you need to get done, but how am I going to show up in order to get that job done? So am I going to approach this task today with integrity? Am I going to approach this task today with curiosity? Am I going to approach this task today with just this mindset of helpfulness or, flexibility? Anybody can show up and do a job at the end of the day. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves that the how also does matter. And I think that that's just really helped me redefine my purpose is not so much of what I need to get done, but how can I do it and how can I do it well?
How can I do it? And how can I do it well? Love it, love it, love it. So coming up, we'll close with legacy, how leadership, service, and integrity leave a lasting impact far beyond one's career. More to come on Flawless Conversations.
We'll be right back to remind you that healing is possible, confidence is yours, and that you are flawless. This is Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Tamika Jones, and you're watching Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television. Are you ready? Let's go. Welcome, welcome back, Flawless family. Welcome back to Flawless Conversations. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your favorite Now Media TV shows, live or on demand, whenever, wherever you want. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to powerful bilingual programming. From leadership and service to inspiration and transformation, Now Media Television is available 24/7. As we close today's episode, we're talking about legacy, not medals, not titles or credentials, but the lives we touch through service, leadership, and compassion. Brenda, how do you define a meaningful legacy?
As I mentioned, I think that defining your purpose is the first thing to define your legacy. It starts with that. And what is the significance of your purpose? For me, it's a desire to contribute to something larger than myself. So for me, in order to define that, of course, I'm going to look through how can I be a mentor? How can I practice kindness? How can I instill the family values that I hold so dear? How do I uphold traditions? And I think all of those things really start to define who I am, which helps me to define that meaningful legacy I do hope to leave behind.
A lot of times we look at legacy as something so big and leave $1 trillion to my family and I'm gonna change the world and be the but it just take that one small act at a time, right? One small step, right? And leaving a legacy is, like you said, random acts of kindness, right? Paying it forward in the grocery line, you know, HEB, you know, letting the lady that's rushing, you know, go in front of you, you know, and she's dropping her stuff and you helping her pick up and let her have her skip it. It's just the random acts of kindness and, like you said, love, right? So legacy, to me, sometimes I have to take a scale back a little bit when I think about the word legacy, because I think of something, you know, gigantically big, and just, no, it could be small, right? How we raise our kids, that's legacy, right?
Huge.
Yes, ma'am. What do you hope people remember most about your leadership and service?
I hope that people remember that I lived a life to serve others. I think that I have a servant heart, and I think a lot of people in healthcare do. We want to help others in a very great time of vulnerability and uncertainty. And I want people to remember that I loved my family well, and I loved my community well. And I do try to focus on beyond just me. Like, how can I leave something behind that is making this world better than when I got here?
Yes. Yes, I agree. And once again, this could be something simple. Volunteering for Habitat for Humanity quarterly, you know, putting together a Hope for Homeless bag. And leaving it under the bridge for, you know, the bags underneath the bridge, you know, just the small things, right? Leaving legacies behind that, so you'll be remembered for that. Oh, that's the lady that come and put bags underneath the, you know, the bridge for the homeless. Or so it doesn't have to be big, like I said before, just leaving your footprint behind, whatever that looks like. How can everyday actions build long-lasting impacts? So how can, when we just talked about this too, like, what can we do on a day-to-day basis that can build sustainable impact?
Yeah, definitely. Earlier, we definitely talked about consistency. And I think that when we ourselves are being consistent with our values, our decision, our kindness, our care for others, I fully believe that we're actually rewriting our own brain on many levels, and that it builds momentum. So how can I positively influence somebody else in a positive way? And it goes back to what you said about paying it forward, right? So then they see that, and then the hope is that they also rewire their own brain and say, like, let me make somebody else feel the way that I felt when so-and-so did this for me. I think that that is really important. So in order to make that lasting impact, I think that you daily have to say, what are my intentions for today? Let me reflect on how I can get that done, and then be able to adjust or pivot when necessary, because life is challenging. But again, at the end of the day, you got to keep moving forward. So I definitely think that that's a constant theme in my life, is just keep moving forward, whether you even feel like it at the moment or not, and be there for somebody else.
Yes, I agree. So the takeaway question today is, how are you building long-lasting impact within your community, within your household, within yourself, right? How are you building long-lasting impact?
Definitely taking on a franchise is a lot more than I anticipated. But again, I'm really passionate about wellness. And again, using all of my nursing skills to say, hey, let's try to help the body before disease occurs. And in order to build that, I think that it's really important that we understand that healthcare staff, we're not taught nutrition. We all take a semester as a prereq usually before we even get into nursing school. Even providers are really doing a lot of nutritional classes. We really don't even think about it in any way, shape, or form. So I have to look at that now when I'm hiring every nurse. Like, I'm not hiring them just to be able to start a movie, right? It's, do you also know how to talk about this amino acid? Do you know how to talk about this vitamin? Because we need the education. We need to first educate ourselves. And I now have the responsibility of making sure that I'm providing all of the education that we need so that we can now perform this service. And, you know, you mentioned whether that be work, also family. I definitely bring my family into the fold. They're actually with me a lot of times, even at work. And I think that that's really important because we're not, none of us are doing these big things on our own. I also need the support of my family and to in turn support them as well. So at the end of the day, yes, I want to cultivate positive change. So I need to provide the knowledge, provide a place that we can practice what we're preaching, and then also take care of each other and take care of each other's families. And again, make that lasting impact.
Yes, yes. Okay, Flawless Family. How can you make a lasting impact a day to day? What actions can you take one baby step today to build long lasting impact? I challenge you today, Flawless Fam. So Brenda, what responsibility do leaders have to mentor the next generation? This is a good one.
Yeah, I think that we have a huge responsibility, and people that don't accept that challenge, I think, are missing a great opportunity. And I think it's easy to do. I think it's easy to just, let me just get through the day. We don't even see half of the opportunities that we've had. So if I, you know, didn't want to set up this business and try to create a place for people to come and feel well, then who is going to do it? You know, is there a lot of people that are doing this just for profit? I actually feel a huge burden to like be there for cancer clients who are struggling and need high dose vitamin C that is often not talked about. But I've also seen the benefits. I've literally had clients come in and halfway through their IV, they're in tears. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like what's happening? What's going on? And they're like, I finally feel good for like 2 weeks, or I'll get a note later and say, I was able to leave there and eat a meal with my family, and I haven't had food in a week. I've just felt so sick, and now I had energy and I felt more calm. And if I don't create an opportunity to, you know, hire other people to also continue, like I can't do it on my own 24/7, right? I need a team. I need others to be able to do that as well, because I'm not doing this for profit. In fact, it's really a financial struggle right now. But I feel that huge sense of purpose. So yeah, it's my job to mentor and guide and figure out how to do that any way possible.
Awesome. I love it. I love it. Brenda, can you give us a flawless nugget and a flawless fact? Here on Flawless Conversations, I asked the guests to give us a flawless nugget. And that's just something the audience can take away, put in their backpack pocket, maybe use it or either share it with a loved one. And they could use it, or a coworker. Just a flawless nugget. And then the flawless fact, something that we should care to know about you. Something funny, something, it could be anything, something random, anything that we could take away or know about you.
My flawless nuggets, I think, would be it's all about grit. Keep moving forward one step at a time. It's all about grit. And sometimes people don't have it, so we need to find it.
Can you repeat that again?
It's all about grit and keeping forward momentum, one step in front of the others. A lot of people aren't born with grit. Sometimes it is something that you have to say, how do I become more resilient? How do I just buckle up and get this done?
Love it.
And for my flawless fact, I would say I have been to 14 different countries while I was in the military. And so I've had a huge opportunity to just travel the world, and that's been really exciting. And, you know, for the military, a lot of us have probably been to like 14 different countries, but I'm pretty proud to have experienced a lot of different cultures and see things from a different perspective.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. 14 different countries. Woo. Love it. Brenda, thank you. This has been powerful. This has been very powerful, powerful conversation. Where can viewers connect with you to continue learning from your journey and also about more about what you do?
Yeah, I would love for people to come visit me at the Drip Bar at Alamo Ranch in San Antonio, Texas. We're located on Alamo Ranch Parkway, and I'm pretty much there usually 5, 6 days a week. We are open 10 to 6. On Tuesdays, we're open 8:30 in the morning to 8:30 at night. So even if you're not interested in IV vitamin therapy, if you still want to come by and get a tour, I would love to just have an opportunity to share what I'm passionate about, and that is wellness, and wellness in the form of making sure that our bodies are given all of the vitamins and nutrients. And if you want to find us online, it is San, I'm sorry, alamo-ranch-satx.thedripbar.com.
Awesome. I will be definitely stopping by, Brenda. So
Excellent.
thank you, Brenda. Thank you for your service, your leadership, your unwavering commitment to purpose. Your story reminds us that true strength is rooted in service, resilience, and heart. To the viewers, remember this: leadership isn't about rank or titles or roles. It's about responsibility, courage, and impact. I'm Tamika Jones, and this is Flawless Conversations on Now Media Television.